We release our kids to children's church. There's a lot of weeks I come in here and they've got their song list of four or five songs, and I show up and I'm like, hey guys, I think we need to do this and this. And they have to move on the fly. And so I so appreciate them. Amen. Appreciate the honor he shows me as pastor. God will bless him for that too. Usually I come in and I've got a structured sermon and three or four pages of notes, and I'm going to teach and preach and do all of that stuff. And I'll be honest with y'all, I don't have that today. So I'm putting my notebook over here. That means we'll probably be brief, or we'll be 2 hours, one of the two. Usually it's one or the other, Maurice. It ain't no in between. It's good to have Maurice with us. I haven't seen you in years. How long has it been? It's been a minute, hasn't it? Our daughters played several years of travel ball together and endured a lot of purgatory in the process. And but through it all, God did a lot of wonderful things and connected us with a lot of wonderful people, and I celebrate that today. Y'all turn in your Bibles, if you will. I just want to be obedient to Scripture this morning that the Lord gave me yesterday. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel 5. Linda and I were having a good time in the Lord yesterday in my office, and the Lord caused some things just to leap in my spirit, and as we were having conversation and everything, and the Lord just spoke this scripture to me, and I want us to talk about a superior place and a superior a way. The intimacy with the Lord trumps everything. Presence trumps everything. I've been sharing with you recently, we look at the different phases of our Christian life, and we I grew up on being a good servant. A lot of y'all probably grew up on that. You know, I'm going to be a good servant. You know, and if I'm a really good servant, I'll be a good soldier in the kingdom, right? I'll be a good soldier, and I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to do all of this, and I'm going to do my Christian duty and all of that. That's good, and that's noble. But usually you'll be like Jonathan, and you'll die on the battlefield when you're supposed to reign in the palace. I can't tell you the carnage of people that I have seen that went through life saying, I'm going to be a good servant. And they get hurt, and they get manipulated, and they get burnt out. And at some point, often they even stop serving God. And it's not a mystery to me to why this takes place. I understand why it takes place, because it will kill you if all you ever aspire to be is a good foot soldier. In the military, you know what the highest attrition rate, whether it's antiquated warfare or current warfare, you know what the highest attrition rate is? The foot soldiers, the grunts. They're the pawns. They're disposable. And God called us for so much more than just being good soldiers and good servants in the kingdom. I look in the Gospels and I see an aspiring upward journey for us, and a journey for the disciples. He comes and he says, I no longer call you servants in the Gospel of John. He said, but now I call you friends. And so they go from being servants to friends, but then they stop being friends and they become sons. But as I have been saying recently, God's ultimate expression for us is not sonship, but God's ultimate expression for us is the bride of Christ. He's not even coming back for sons. He's come. What does He say in Revelation? I'm coming back for a bride. Because a bride carries a level of intimacy that no one else carries. It is a level of intimacy. It is a level of understanding. It is a level of trust. It is a level of authority. I will give my daughters anything that they ask me for as daughters, but my wife doesn't even have to ask me. She just has full disposal of everything I have. See what I'm saying? She doesn't even have to petition me. If she feels it's right, because of our level of marriage and our level of... I say yes. She's given away Harley Davidsons, and we've given away cars, and hadn't done a house yet, but giving away things just because of a word of the Lord. And she is afforded a place that no one else on this planet is afforded with me. A place of closeness and proximity that when we lay in bed at night, I can hear, usually, sometimes I'm sleeping through nuclear attack, I can hear rustling if she's uneasy. I can hear tossing, I can hear turning, I can hear her getting up and going to the restroom or whatever. And it's because of two things. It's because of stillness and because of proximity. It's because of stillness and it's because of proximity. And marriage is the ultimate expression of intimacy on earth and the ultimate expression of intimacy in the kingdom. There are things reserved for her that no one else has access to. There are things reserved for me that no one else has access to. And when I enter into bride status with Father God, I just said Father God. Maybe I should come in. Let me rephrase that. When I enter into bride status with Yeshua, then there are things that are reserved for me and unlocked for me in that position. You say, well, I just want to be a son. That's fine. You'll get an inheritance. But when you're a bride, you get it all. When you're a bride, being a bride trumps everything else. I remember we were talking about to Maurice and then, you know, Amanda and Marvin. They're coming with us and joining with us and being a part of the house, and we're super excited about that, and I so dig that. Y'all embrace them. That's Amanda and Marvin. They said that God's put, they live over in Cobb County or somewhere in Paulding, over around Paulding. It's around West Cobb, Paulding area. I think they outpassed y'all, TW. And they said, God, I told Amanda, and I'm sorry, you're fair game when I'm preaching up here. I said, it's been great having you guys the last few weeks, because she had texted me a few weeks ago talking about how awesome church was and how awesome Genesis moments had been happening in her life and all of that stuff. And I said, man, it has been awesome having you guys, you know, with us the last few. And she said, well, God, we're making this our home. God's a, so y'all embrace them and y'all welcome them. It's awesome to have you guys. We love y'all as a body. We are here for you. And we're excited about what y'all can bring to this body. But talking about marriage trumps everything and love trumps everything. And I'm not talking about just love. I'm talking about taking it to the next level. I remember in referring to Maurice and her daughter played ball with Ariel on some of the travel ball teams. And Lord, we've been all over the country together, and we've been to Las Vegas and Fort Lauderdale and California many times, and Texas and all of these places, and doing all of this. And we were chasing something. And sometimes I think the parents were chasing it more than the kids. And on that particular team, everybody got what they were chasing. I think every girl on that team signed a D1 scholarship. Every single girl on the team got a D1 scholarship. And we're like, whoa, yes! We made it! We arrived! And Errol, I don't know all the story of the others. I know some of the stories, but Errol came in and as a freshman, day one, she started. So she's playing D1 with a full ride, and she's starting. And we go and we watch her play tournaments and games in the Southeast, and we go to California, and I sit there, Brett, and I'm watching my kid play Ohio State and Notre Dame and people like that, and I'm sitting there as a proud father and all of that. And then the fall of her junior year, she calls us and she says, "Hey guys, I think I'm done." Not a frustration over I'm a quarterback and didn't get playing time because Johnny from Louisiana beat me out. But you know why she called us and she said, "Hey, I'm done"? Some little greasy kid from Bremen named Rhett Tollison. Rhett's not greasy. Y'all know what I'm saying. She said, "I'm done." And you know why she said, "I'm done"? Because I want to come home and get married. All of a sudden, getting married trumped everything else. She didn't care who was on their schedule starting in the spring. I think they had a home game at Tennessee and different stuff. She didn't care. She didn't care what her batting average was going to be the next year. She didn't care what kind of this is where I'm going to play third or first, or that didn't matter to her. She said, "I have found something that trumped everything else, and you know what it's called? It's called marriage to one that God's knit my heart to." And she said, "It trumps everything else." And God so desires for the body to get off of all of our programs and our agendas and all of our ways of doing kingdom life that is inferior to being married to Him. I lived in an inferior paradigm for years and years and years. I grew up in an inferior paradigm. It'd get you saved and it'd get you to heaven, but it wouldn't get you in a place where you hear the whispers of the King. It wouldn't get you to a place, what you experienced Wednesday night, Michaela. What you experienced Wednesday night, you know what that's reserved for? That's reserved for bride status. Consider Wednesday night courtship. Consider that courtship. That's what I view it as. For you guys, Wednesday night was courtship for you, Ambry. Courtship for you. And that was the Father saying, "I want to carry you to a place that is even higher than being a son." And we like to come in and say, "I want to be a son, and I want to go to Romans and what it says in Romans and throughout the epistles." And it talks about that I come in and realize that the white horse out back is reserved for me, and I can come into a full place of inheritance. You know, the thing about inheritance is never fully realized until the one is gone and out of the picture. She gets something superior. You know what inheritance gets? Listen to me on this. Lord just spoke this to me. You know what inheritance is for Aaliyah and Errol and Brent and Rhett and the grandchildren? It's what's left over after Lori gets through with it. Right? You know what you're going to inherit from your parents? What they don't spend. What they don't use. But brideship brings you into a status of now. See, we have got so hung up in an inferior system and an inferior paradigm, that's why we gaze and we look longingly on heaven and say, "Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away and I'll get to heaven and I'm going to inherit." I know Jesus said, "I prepare for you a place that has many mansions." I know He said that, but He also said, "This is how you pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And there's a place reserved for me for one day, but there's a spot reserved for me now. And He desires to bring me into a place where I'm not waiting to receive something one day, but I'm walking into something right now. And people talk about how glorious it'll be when we get to heaven. And I just want to gaze on Him. And I want to sit on. I hear this all the time. People say, "Boy, I can't wait till I get to heaven." You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to run right past Peter. And I'm going to run right past Paul. And I'm going to go sit at the throne or fall down at the throne of Jesus. And I'm just going to worship Him for 1,000 years. Why wait till then? Why not start now? The Word says boldly approach the throne of grace. The Word tells me that the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom. Not something that I originated from the bottom and went to the top out of self-will and dogged determination, but something... I love the story of Benaniah. You preached on Benaniah a while back. I was reading about it this week. I love the story of Benaniah. I love the story that his hand got so fixed to his sword that he couldn't even let it go because he was in such fight and such battle and all of that stuff. But something that I love even better is the story of Esther, where she comes in and she has the king's ear that she can whisper into. She didn't have to kill Haman. Who killed Haman? The king. The king. And God wants to take us out of an inferior, antiquated, let me just say an inferior system where we want to come in, and our aspiration is that I want to be a good soldier, I want to be a good servant, or ultimately become a good son. And God says, is that all? I want more than that. What if you guys, we're not in Alabama, we're in Georgia, okay, so we'll qualify. What if you guys had met and y'all fell in love and all of this stuff and everything, and then come to find out you're first cousins? You know what that would do in Georgia? Anybody from Alabama, I'm making a joke, so get over it. All you Alabama fans, get over it too. I ain't saying nothing about Bear Bryant. But you found out I'm close relation to her. You know what that would do? You'd be like, rats. That limits my level of intimacy with her. And if all you can aspire to, I'll put it this way, because we are first cousins. I love that woman right there. I feel a spiritual connection with her. That is, other than my wife and my children, probably a closer connection than anybody in this house. And I feel like you probably feel that same. But you know what? We're first cousins, so guess what? It will never go into a place of intimacy that goes in. And I'm not talking about physical intimacy. I'm talking about intimacy. I don't know what she smells like when she's laying at rest. I don't hear the sound of rustling when she turns over. I don't hear what her sigh is, whether it is one of great joy or exasperation. All right? Because of the limitations of relationship and intimacy. Is everybody following me this morning? Here's what I'm trying to tell you. You can have it all. You can have it all. And as God comes in and God starts stirring and God starts doing something, some of you, it may just be God's telling you that I intend to court you. That's what the Lord spoke to me about Wednesday night. Just consider that courtship. You know what you do when you're courting someone? You're like, here's what I have to offer. Here's what I have to offer. It's not a teaser. And I've used that illustration before on a teaser and trolling and deep sea fishing to get our attention. And God does do things to get our attention because He wants to ultimately hook us. But that's flat out courtship. We've got some friends. I'm not saying we adhere to this. Brett Kent's saying, thank God. But I've got some friends that grew up in a ministry. And until you entered into an intention of courting someone, you didn't kiss them. You didn't date them. You came into a place to where it's like, if I feel like this is the person and this is somebody that I want to pursue for the intention of marriage, then that opens up doors that were beforehand completely shut off. Catherine, that came and ministered to our youth so wonderfully Wednesday night, she's a byproduct of that. And she's the same way. She saved her kiss for the red tie guy. She saved her kiss for the red tie guy. There are things reserved for Ian that nobody else will ever experience. And that was not released into her or released into him until they began a courtship process. And we wonder why we hit walls, and we wonder why we hit ceilings, and we feel like our prayers aren't going anywhere, and it's because you have never entered into the courtship process. You've never entered into the place. Because you say, that's stupid, I want to play the field. Go ahead. See how that works out for you. I'm talking about spiritual. See how that works for you. You float around and you flit around and come talk to me 5 years later when you're spiritually frustrated. And you're frustrated with life. And you just got a promotion and you're making a lot of money. And you just got back from an amazing vacation at Cabo. But somehow it didn't do it for you in here. You know why it didn't do it for you in here? Because there's something reserved for those that He enters into a place of courtship and ultimately marriage with. And you are built with that void in your life. You are built with something in your life. And the only thing that's going to satisfy it. I watch my grandchildren, and you know what they dream of? They dream of being superheroes. And they dream of being fair maidens that get married. Princesses that the groom comes. You know why Zealand, you know what he when he's typically being a superhero, you know what it is? It's not necessarily, he'll whack you with a Ninja Turtle every once in a while. He'll break that move out on you. But usually, you know what he's dreaming of? I'm a prince. The dude's got like 128 swords. And every one of them says, I'm a prince. And you know what a prince does? A prince marries a princess. You know what Caroline does? She carries around a baby doll. I forgot the last one's name. It was in my truck. Errol called me and she said, please, whatever you're doing, come home before nap because Sophia's in the back of your truck. You know what I did? I went and carried that baby doll to her. And when she got that baby doll, you know what? All was well. And you know what a baby doll is? A baby doll is fruit of being a bride. And I'm telling you, what God is wanting to do right now is for some of you guys to take the plunge on the next step in your spiritual life. I know a lot of girls, and they'll date guys, and they'll like that guy, and they may even love that guy, and they'll go through this thing, and they'll wait patiently. And after a certain amount of time, after 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, if he doesn't come up with a ring, you know what they ultimately do? They ultimately break it off because they say, I'm tired of waiting for you. I guarantee, how long you guys been together? A while now, because Isaac's 16. We'll just, for giggles, we'll say 17 years. If y'all had been together for 17 years and there wasn't a ring on that finger, she would not be sitting there today. I don't care how much intimacy you tried to enter into. You could have physical intimacy, but you would never connect on the level that you can connect when you took that extra and said, I say yes to you, I say yes to this. And I know that the world says that marriage is an antiquated system. That's why living together is so prevalent. And so much of society that thinks not a thing in the world on it. But I want to tell you something. It's a cheap imitation that falls short of the real thing. I promise you it is. I promise you it is. And you know what the church says? The church, the modern church, would look at this message that I'm preaching today. I know I didn't read any scripture yet. But the modern church would look at this message that I'm reading today, and you know what they say? They would say, that is antiquated. And it's a place that the modern church has really never even been. And the people that, so many of the people, there's some that get hurt and they say, I'm never going there again. But the people that say that the message that I'm preaching today is antiquated, that's the people that have never experienced it. Once you've experienced it, and once you've tasted it, and once you've come into that intimacy, come on. Just sharing with you, I'm about done. I'll teach this stuff Wednesday night. The reason that the Lord carried me to this scripture in 2 Samuel chapter 5 is David had just got made king over the entire nation of Israel. He had been at Hebron as king over Hebron for a couple of the tribes for 7 years, 12 years, something like that. My history is a little hazy at the moment, but it was several years that he had been the king over Hebron and one of the other tribes. But Israel came in and they made him king over all 12 tribes. And when they made him king over all 12 tribes, the Philistines came against him. And David inquired of the Lord. He was in this intimate. He was a beautiful Old Testament type of somebody that predated his time. David entered into this marriage relationship with God under an inferior covenant. Sometimes I think that we can pull stuff that is intended for our future and we can pull it into the present. I'm convinced of that. There are things that are intended for his mother did that when the first miracle. He said, woman, it's not my time yet. And then immediately he turned around and she said, y'all do whatever he says do. And immediately he turned the water into wine. I believe we can do that. I believe perhaps Cornelius did that with the Gentiles. And so we see these things, but the Philistines came to David and they came to attack David and to destroy him because he was the newly coronated king. And he inquired of the Lord and he said, shall I go out and fight him? He says, go, I'm going to give them to you. And so he went and he did, the word said that he destroyed the army of the Philistines. And then he comes back and somehow the Philistines raised up another army, and I'm sure it was an army that was weaker. I'm sure it was an army that was not as well garrisoned and everything else. But they still managed to raise up another army and come against him again. And so he comes to God again and he says, God, we whipped them last time. Can I go and do it again? And God said, no, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to go around and move around behind them and wait and be still. But when you hear a rustling or see a rustling in the mulberry trees, then you'll know that I'm moving before you. And you say, man, what's the point? God was wanting to get David to a place where he realized this is not about how brave I am and how strong I am and how good my soldiers are and how mighty my mighty men are and all of this stuff. This is about my success is going to be predicated on my intimacy with God. That's why God said, you go and you be still. And when you're still, you see, we're moving so fast and we're moving so loud, we can't hear His whispers. Lori has a hard time with background noise. If there's a lot of background noise, Lori can't hear what you're saying. She just can't filter it out good. And so for her to carry on we don't like loud restaurants and stuff. We like little intimate boutique stuff, you know, or find us a little corner somewhere or something like that. I mean, heck, it can be a 302. It ain't got to be fancy, but just give me a corner. And so... She has a hard time filtering out all of this noise so you can't carry on an intimate conversation. But when you get into a place of stillness and you get into a place that's away from all of this, then you can hear what's spoken. Or you can even see body language. Or you can even see if someone is softening. you can see the expression. I can say a lot of times, I can look at her and you say, well, she's got it stamped on her forehead. Sometimes she does. And it don't take a rocket science, that scientist. But I have been in a place with her for so long now. Today's her birthday, by the way. Yeah. I've been with her for way over half her life. And because of that place of intimacy, I don't have to hear. I can feel presence. I can look at facial expression. I can look at posture. I can even hear the way that she's breathing. I got a dog that'll give you an exasperated sigh. He's like, pfft. I'm like, I take it you didn't like that answer, Jack. When I said supper's not ready right now, it's not time to eat. Because we'll say, oh, in a little bit, and he'd be like, Y'all see what I'm saying on this? Hunter, there is a place that God wants to bring you into that trumps being a good servant, it trumps being a good soldier, it trumps even being a good son. And it's a place of where you hear His whispers. It's a place where you see the shaking of the leaves in the mulberry tree. If I had time, and we may go there Wednesday night, I'm not this morning. In John 12, one of my favorite portions of Scripture, it's the story of the Supper of Bethany. And we come in and we see Mary and Martha and Lazarus and everybody, and they're throwing a dinner for Jesus, and Jesus is sitting there and everything is rocking and it's awesome. And it talks about, we know the story, Mary comes in with spikenard. It says that Martha's serving and Mary comes in with spikenard and she breaks the spikenard on Jesus and anoints Him and all of that stuff. And then some of them, you know, Judas was like, well, Lord, what's she doing that? We could have sold it and give it to the poor. And the Word says that He wasn't worried about the poor. He was a thief and all of this stuff. Jesus said, leave her alone. She's anointed Me for My burial. Okay? Mary was coming into a place of bride status with Jesus. Martha was in a place of, I'm being a good daughter. I'm serving You. The only problem with John 12 is Luke 10. You know what Luke 10 is? That's another dinner where Mary and Martha are there with Jesus. And Martha comes up to Jesus and said, Lord, I am working my rear end off. Don't You care that she's sitting at Your feet listening to the Word? I need some help. I'm being a good daughter. I'm being a good servant. I'm being a good soldier. And you know what Jesus told her? Y'all know the story. You know what He said? He said, she's chosen the best thing. She's chosen a superior way. The sad thing about it, you fast forward a year and a half later in John 12, and Martha still hasn't learned her lesson. And Mary's still digging her relationship with Jesus. I promise you this. That week when they were taking Jesus and they were whipping Him with a cat of nine tails, Jesus was not sitting here thinking, that was an awesome ham sandwich that Martha fixed for me. But He could smell the spikenard. When He was hanging on the cross, the thief next to Him wasn't sitting here saying, I bet that dude had an awesome meal 2 days ago. But he could smell the spikenard. There's some of you guys in here, they're just reality, pure statistics, pure numbers. I hope this is not the case, but probability it will be. There are some of you guys, and you're going to make it to heaven, and your name's written on the Lamb's Book of Life. And you're going to spend eternity up there. But you are not going to get any inheritance until you get there. You are not going to ever enter into any bride status right here because you are satisfied level. It is easier making sandwich than it is breaking a box and being at His feet. This is the hardest, easiest thing I've ever done. This is the hardest, easiest thing I've ever done. This is the hardest, easiest thing I've ever done. I promise you, it's way easier to park cars and be a good servant at church than it is to get into a place of intimacy and worship and a life of devotion. Because I've done both. It's easier for me to go to witness to 28 people this last week because that's my duty than it is for me to live a life of bride status with Him. Because I could witness out of duty. It doesn't cost you anything to go to the Blake House and fix stuff for those guys. It don't cost anything to go to CCC and hand out boxes. That's easy. That's easy. I'm not saying it's not needed. It's James Christianity. But it's way easier than what happened to you Wednesday night. It's way easier than Madeline prophesying over Brandon. I love what Catherine did. Catherine came in and she said, "All right, I want y'all to pair up with somebody that you normally would not pair up with. And I want you to start prophesying over them." As Madeline starts prophesying over Brandon, a river just begins to erupt and flow out of him. That's harder than fixing a sandwich. That's harder than having a 10-year Sunday school pen. Come on. But that's places of intimacy that's reserved for bride status. And some of you are going to get it. You'll aspire to it. You'll walk in it. And some of you will settle for less. Some of you will settle for less. I think sometimes that a determining factor is what you spoke to me about a while ago, Robin, and what I brought out. Cynicism, disappointment, fatigue. I guarantee you the dreams of my grandchildren are not dreams of settling. You know what Sidney Hanna wants right now and trumps everything else on presents, whether it's Christmas or birthday? She wants a princess dress. I think she's got every princess covered in the books. She got one for Christmas. I said, "What princess is that? I'm not familiar." She threw out the name of Travis, threw out some name of some prince. I'm like, "I ain't familiar with that one." And they're like, "Oh, that's Disney's newest one." I said, "Smart marketing. Keep it rolling." When she got Cinderella's dress, you know what she got? She got her gown that she wore to the ball. She didn't get the rags that she swept the floors and cleaned the floors with. The thing about being a child is they haven't got dulled to a place to where they settle yet. Sometimes Zeelan will be pretending that is it Edwin? On Narnia, the prince, Edmund, you got it, Tia. It's Edmund. And you know what I'll do? I'll call him Zeeland. He'll say, "I'm not Zeeland, I'm Edmund." We'll be in the tractor, and he'll be wanting to carry his sword on the tractor. He's my cow-feeding buddy. Got to throw something in about cows for you. He's my cow-feeding buddy. He'll carry his sword with me, and I'll say, He said, "I'm not Zee, I'm Edmund." He has not lost childlike faith that gets him to a place where he settles. What's sad is when you let life so batter you and so bruise you and you let people so talk you down, when they call you Gordon and it's a derogatory term, you cannot come back with a rebuttal and say, "I'm not Gordon, I'm the bride of Christ. I'm not dirty, I'm clean. I'm not tainted, I'm pure. I'm not cursed, I'm beloved. That's my name." And they'll look at you and they'll say, "I see an old guy, I've been rode hard and put up wet." And you say, "You ain't looking at me the way he looks at me." I love you and I see you every day of the week. We really do. We see each other at least 6 days a week. But you know what really matters? And I care about our relationship, but you know what? I don't care if you look at me like I'm old and beat down and ugly and bald-headed and out of shape and all of that stuff. You know what I really care about? It's what she looks at me like. Because when she looks at me in beloved status, that's all I need. And the world will say this, and the world will say this, and experience will say this, and circumstances will say this, but He looks at you and He says, "Beloved, come into Me in a place of intimacy, and let Me show you My heart. And let Me whisper in your ear." And that's what our Yeshua wants to do, Maurice. I love Father God, and I'm thankful for Father God, but I love my husband that's coming back for me. Whew. And that's the place that God wants to carry us to. You say, "What's your vision for the church?" I just gave it to you. Bride status. What's the vision for the church? Intimacy, which hosts the presence. You know what people do at weddings? Good weddings. They gush over the bride and usually they'll dance. People that don't normally dance, somehow they will get out there to wedding. And they'll celebrate. And they'll gush over a bride. I've been at a lot of weddings and I've done a lot. I've never heard anybody walk up to a bride and say, "That dress makes you look fat." Never heard that. You know, the only thing I've ever heard is, "You look beautiful. And I'm so happy for you today." There are very few grooms that I have stood next to that did not start crying when their bride walked down the aisle. Very few. The norm is they start crying and I start crying. That's the norm. Because when I see a bride coming down, you know what I do? I'm seeing them through the eyes of the groom. And you know what I tell the bride? "You look beautiful today." Because I see her through the groom's eyes. You know what I've been preaching and teaching on the last couple of weeks about believing for somebody and interceding for people and all of that? It's when I start seeing you through the eyes of the groom, you know what it makes me do, Randy? It makes me weep. And it makes me say, "You look beautiful today." Because I'm seeing them through the eyes of Yeshua. Y'all feeling me on this? Whew. Change that perspective. It's a higher place. It's a higher call. It's a higher way to live. Tyler, will you get up and get on the piano? I loved you being on the piano a while ago. Just start playing something. I didn't realize he was so adept at playing the piano. This is a safe zone because of our relationship, right? Randy's like, "Oh my gosh." If you did not think that he had intentions to court you and ultimately marry you, you would not be sitting there with your hand on his shoulder right now, would you? Pay attention, brother. She would have already moved on. Because you know what her dream is? I know her. I've known her since she was a baby. You know what her dream is? The same that Caroline's is. She grew up dreaming about being a bride. She didn't grow up dreaming about being a softball player. You like Errol, you didn't even finish. 15 years was enough. You got something higher on your agenda. You got your arm around it right now. I'm not lobbying for a ring or anything, brother. I'm just, you know what I'm saying? That's what Yeshua is with us. He's not lobbying for a best friend. He's lobbying for a bride. He's not coming in and saying, "Hey, let's go hang out." He said, "Let's enter a place of ultimate intimacy where you know my heart and I share my secrets with you. And so you're so in tune with me that when I'm ministering to somebody else, I hear what the Father's saying about them. That's what the kids were doing Wednesday night in the prophetic. Who are you prophesying over? Casey? Whew. Cindy came into work Thursday morning, giddy. Because she said Casey was blown away. Said Casey had, according to Casey, Casey had a Genesis moment. I'm asking permission late. I know that's, I do that. She texts Catherine. Didn't you text Catherine? She texts Catherine, whom she did not know, telling her how awesome it was. Still texting her. Amen. I pray a divine connection over that. But you know why she got so messed up? Because, Michaela, you entered into a place. The stuff that you were saying over her might not have made any sense to you whatsoever. But it was God's heart for her and God's design for her and God's intent for her. And you know why you were able to say that? Because you, for a moment, you entered into a place of bride status. Where you knew the heart of your groom. You knew what your groom would say. And so you were able to release that into her life. That's how we change people. So we say, I know. Before you sit down with her, I can tell you what she's going to say to you. Because I know her so well. That's where He wants you to live. And the result was, she didn't come in and say, that was cool. Catherine's a cool chick. She said, God wrecked my world. And you know who spoke it? You did. Because in that moment, you know what you were? Yeshua's bride. You weren't His servant. You weren't His son. You were His bride. I told you, He's courting you. He's courting you. Your daddy will give you permission to kiss him. Your daddy will give you permission to say yes to him. Might not know any other little boy that comes around at this point in time, but he will him. He'll take him and he'll say yes. And he'll go to work. And he'll brag about the one that's courting his daughter. He'll brag about the one courting his daughter. So y'all wouldn't believe what's happening. You came to work bragging about the one that was courting your daughter. It's a superior way, guys. Y'all stand to your feet. If you hadn't felt that way in a long time, or if you've never felt that way, consider yourself being courted right now. If you're in this house, consider yourself being courted. If you're connected to this church, that's what's happening right now. Consider yourself being courted. Consider yourself being courted, Brandon. The crazy thing about a groom, he doesn't care how many men Gomer's been with. He's not even scared that she might fall back into the hole. He just wants to court her. So right now, God's asking you to say yes to the courtship. You say, what is this going to look like, preacher? I don't know. Isaac, I don't know what it's going to look like for you. I don't know what it's going to look like for you. But I will tell you this, it's going to be a wild ride. And it's going to touch places in you that nothing else can touch. It's going to touch places in you that are going to leave a mark forever. And you're going to feel heaven, and you're going to hear heaven, and you're going to see heaven. Apostle Paul said, I went up into a place. I don't know if I was in body or out of the body. But I got carried away into a place, and you know what it was? That was courtship. courtship. Whew. When you were courting her, you had eyes for only her. And you had eyes for only him, and it was spun his head. The little boy come in, and he wasn't fit for nothing. Because he done got struck. He didn't care if he was going to break curfew and come in late. He was courting somebody. You know what? I'll high five you on that, brother. I jacked you up that night. But I high five you today. Because you found a prize. And you went after it. Come on, somebody. I found a prize and I went after it. God found a prize and he went after it. Hannah found a prize. Will she go after it? Haven found a prize. Will she go after it? Found a prize. You're a gifted athlete. So is Errol. She stood on the field against Notre Dame and Ohio State, and she walked away from it. I'm not asking you to walk away from it. I'm just saying there's something better than everything that we aspire to in our physical. She said, I found something better, and its name was Rhett Tolleson. And you know what? She found something superior to him, and you know what it is? Yeshua. It's Yeshua. There's a prize. Go play in the Olympics. I'll be your biggest fan, but there's a prize higher than that. I promise you. 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 You found a prize. Go after it. Go after it. Go after it with everything you got. Father, we come to you. We thank you for today, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing Yeshua to us and his heart toward us. And I pray that every person in here will just say yes. Yes to courtship. Yes to a superior calling. Yes to a superior relationship. Yes to superior intimacy. We'd say yes to that. Realizing there's things that are reserved in us that can't be given to anything else. And I pray that those things would be unlocked. Lord, I ask you to draw and I ask you to move in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to move, come on down.